The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Coming to your cordless in Northeast Minneapolis. Hello, everybody. It's 11.02 p.m. on the East Coast, 8.02 p.m. on the West Coast, and 10.02 p.m. here in Flyover Country where I'm sitting. I'm Jim Peters, and welcome to Jim Peters at Night. I almost said James. That is my name, but Jim Peters is catchier. Hope you guys are all well. Our guest tonight is Jazz Shaw, weekend editor of hotair.com. Now, he was on about 3 weeks ago. Oh, I want to, before I even plow into that, so this is our 21st show. We've been doing this now for 6 weeks. This is the end of our 6 week. I don't know if you noticed, yesterday we put up a new intro, and today we have a disclaimer cards in front of it so that we don't get sued or something. I don't know, whatever. And then you won't notice if you stick around to the very end, we have end cards at on the end of the show, too. We got that. Improvements are being made. I do have one announcement about that sort of thing. We are, as of tonight, we have dropped broadcasting live on Podbean Live. We're done with it. We've had so many problems with it. And then today, I went to try to fix some of those problems, and it turns out the problems are inherent with their settings we can't change. And because of that, we're screwed. And so it's moot at this point. Now, we won't get around to yet all of the audio podcasts that we did on Podbean have to be replaced because the audio screwed up on all of them. And I did not know that. I listened a few minutes here and there, and I basically got lucky. I didn't listen to the parts where the audio dropped out. And so we're going to post these shows as audio podcasts the day after. They won't be live on Podbean anymore. And to be perfectly blunt, basically nobody was using it. You know, and I understand that too. If you're in your car and you want to listen to this, you're probably just going to hook your phone up Bluetooth to your car stereo and listen to it on YouTube or Rumble. I mean, that's probably what you're going to do. In terms of the live broadcasting, the Podbean thing was basically pointless. And Podbean, along with one other company, are the only podcasters that allow live streaming. And so it basically did not work out for us. So we're dumping it. I'm going to have to reprocess all the 21 episodes we've done to put them back on as audio podcasts. I'm hoping I can get that done this weekend. We'll see. But yeah, so that's over. So now we're down to 7 networks, but they're all video. And that's good because I'm starting to realize after doing this show now for 6 weeks that this is a television show. It's not, I mean, for example, I was listening to Joe Pags today on the radio in my car, and he's on, and the local station here carries him live. I know he's on from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern time, 5 to 8 here every night. And I listened to him and I checked into his live video feed. But that's a radio show that has a video feed. It's kind of, you know, he sometimes refers to, like, today he played a couple, he played a couple clips from CNN and stuff like that. And he said, you know, if you want to actually see these, go to my website, blah, 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 and that's fine. But the thing is, it's hard to explain. It feels different, you know? I'm addressing the camera here. He doesn't, other than occasionally. And nobody else on the show really does either. And he has, you know, multiple people on there and all this sort of stuff. I mean, he does a good job. I think he's one of the best people doing conservative talk radio right now. But it's still not a television show. And what I realized when we started this, I thought, well, okay, the big things, we're live because we're taking video phone calls. And by the way, we will take your calls tonight. Jazz Shaw's interview is pre-taped. We taped it this afternoon. But after that, you want to call in, please do. I encourage you. We have not had in the last 6 weeks, we have not had a lot of people calling. I think it's because people feel uncomfortable with the process. Also because some people don't want their face on the air, and I understand that too. But you understand, there's a no video option you can choose in the preview screen before you get in the queue, and basically mutes your camera, and you can do that. We've had people do it before. People already used it, so no problem with that. We had a guy named Cooper who said he was from outer space. He just aimed his cell phone in another direction. Okay, fine, that works too. And yeah, you can call in your cell phone. It works just like FaceTime, just like it. You go to gymatnight.com/call. There's a big, huge blue button at the top of the screen. You push the button. You get to a preview screen. You get to adjust your camera and mic or whatever. If you have more than one of each, you get to choose which one. On the video pull down, you can choose no video, and that mutes your camera, and you're off to the races. So it's easy. So at any rate, I was talking about the fact that we're off of Podbean. And let me pull up my little show notes here. Yeah, and Jazz Shaw's our guest tonight. And also, next week, Mark Tapscott's joining us again. Now, he was on about 3 weeks ago, too. He's going to be a regular here. He's a congressional correspondent for the Epoch Times. And I normally don't like to announce guests if I don't know what day they're going to be on. But Mark actually called us and said, I want to be on your show. Okay, fine. We'll accommodate. So we don't even know what day he's coming on yet, but he will be on. Apparently, he has a lot to talk about. That does not surprise me. If you listen to Jazz's interview, which we already did, you know, he talks about the Mexican UFO aliens shit, which because he's one of the experts in this field, he's being bombarded by the press for interviews. I'm very happy he did ours first, so that's cool. I'm happy about that. So I don't know where the hell he was for the rest of the afternoon, but he was around talking at someone. And also, you'll listen to this. We are both highly skeptical of this. The guy who's pushing this, his name is Jamie Masson, and I think I got his name wrong in the interview, but that's his name. He's been doing a television show on UFOs, a weekly show on Mexican television for 20 years. It's one of the highest rated shows on Mexican TV. But it's like the National Enquirer. Some of it's true and some of it isn't. And he doesn't seem to care. And he's also already in the past, he's more than once, he's released quote-unquote alien bodies that turned out to be fake. It's not so much that he's faking it. It's just he buys everything people bring him. He doesn't seem to have any skepticism whatsoever. If people come and say, this is an alien body, he says, look, we've got an alien body. You know, that's the problem. I mean, so in that sense, he's highly uncredible, and I don't think this changes anything. Okay, so now these figures are kind of interesting. If you don't know what we're talking about, they were paraded in front of the Mexican parliament yesterday. Yeah, the whole country, Mexico's parliament, in two glass coffins, and they were found apparently in the bottom of a mine somewhere, and they've been dated. These two corpses, if you want to call them that, they're petrified or fossilized or whatever. They're 1,800 years old. And yeah, they have three fingers and they do not look like humans. They don't. But I still, you know, that's a thing. Maybe it's true. But with him, you never know. You just don't know. So what happened today? I'll tell you what happened. Hunter Biden got indicted on three felony charges regarding illegal gun possession. And the conservatives, that would be some of our friends, are just salivating. They're just fucking giddy over this. And this is stupid. It's just as stupid as the liberals being giddy about Trump. Because at the end of the day, folks, especially gun charges, don't have anything to do with the president at all. Now, it's easy for me to say that because the president is going to try to make it about him. I mean, they're already flaunting this about the fact that Hunter's being unfairly penalized here for purely political reasons to get back at his father, where it's plain as day that he broke the law. It's like he lied on the gun form. He lied to the guy selling him the gun, who was a licensed arms, gun dealer. And that's illegal too. And he took the gun, and that's also illegal. He has a gun now under false pretenses. So the maximum penalty for all these three charges is 25 years. Now, will he see 25 years? No. I'll be surprised if he sees more than three. However, he might actually see some jail time on this. But, and here's the giant but, his father could pardon him. His father has the right and the ability to do that. As president of the United States, you can pardon anybody. And these are federal charges, too. That's the other thing. If I'm right, I think the president can also pardon state charges. I think that's true. I'm not sure. But it doesn't matter here. These are federal charges. And so it falls under the Biden's pardon jurisdiction. And yeah, Biden could pardon his son. And the thing is, you might think, well, God knows he'd never do that. Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, this gets down, it's kind of the same thing. You know, that's the really amazing thing you think about this. It's kind of the same shit with Trump. You know, they were floating all on, would Trump pardon himself? You know, well, especially if he won the election, I'm sure he would, just to get out of jail and do the job. You know, that's kind of, you know, I would not begrudge him at all for doing that. I personally wouldn't begrudge him at all for pardoning himself anyway, because of the four indictments that he's under. Three of them are completely bogus. The Mar-a-Lago document thing, he might have done this. That's true. But the thing with that is that we know for a fact other presidents have done it too. It's selective prosecution. No one's ever been prosecuted under this law. No one. So, you know, but the thing is, yeah, okay, did he break the law? Yeah. I mean, it kind of looks like he did. I mean, you know, he gets his day in court and everything. But still, the other three are completely bogus. The thing that's going on in Georgia, they waited 30 months to file these charges. Why? Because Trump is running for president. They couldn't have filed them 28 months ago because he broke the law. No, they couldn't do that. No, that would be terrible. That would be a waste of prosecutorial power, you know? So would Biden pardon his son? It wouldn't surprise me if he wouldn't. Now, the other thing people said, well, yeah, he might pardon his son and also then resign, because all of a sudden, in the last few days, it appears that people, that, you know, I've said for years, and Tim Conaway, the guy who's running for president, who we had on our show a month ago, and we'll have him back on too. He's a former longtime editor of a zillion publications. He says, I'm giving these people way too much credit. He says they're not that smart. But I think there's a secret private online forum somewhere where all these liberal reporters actually gather and get marching orders. Because if you notice this, when shit goes down, there's a whole bunch of posts on Twitter within literally like 5 minutes that all use the exact same wording. And like, how does that happen? And they're not retweets or anything like that. These are people actually posting to their accounts, you know. And they basically use the same wording, just ad infinitum, over and over again. I mean, in some cases, there's hundreds of people doing this. Well, how do they get that wording? You know, that's my thing. I think there's some secret online thing where they have the, you know, and those things are not hard to set up. I've set them up. I've done that. So, yeah, that's my theory. I'm sticking to it. But all of a sudden, over the last few days, it appears that the Democrats and the mainstream media are kind of turning on the president. Just today, this morning, Jonathan Capehart, that bozo over at CNN, he actually read a list of lies Biden told over the last few days, like in the various places he went. And that's like Trump shit, you know? I mean, you know, CNN kept a running list of every lie supposedly Donald Trump told. It was like 10,000 of them by the time that his term was done. It was totally nuts. I mean, you know, it was like stuff like, you know, he'd say, you know, well, you know, in 1974, I built a building so-and-so, and then they'd say, no, it was actually 1976. That sort of shit, you know. It's just crazy. Those aren't lies. Those are mistakes. But the thing is, I don't know if you want to call them lies either. The president is notorious, President Biden, notorious for making shit up, just whole cloth. He tells stories. He's a storyteller. And I suppose you could say, I've always said Trump is a salesman. Trump exaggerates. He's trying to sell shit. And, you know, when he's president, he's trying to sell policy. You know, I think Trump or Biden thinks he relates to people by telling stories. But the problem is now the stories are so unkempt and they're so out in left field that they basically, first of all, they don't work. You know, if he's talking about trying to relate to people or empathize with them, no, these stories are nuts. You know, on September 11th, he said that on September 12th, he went down to Ground Zero. That's not true. That's a documented falsehood. They know where he was. He was not at Ground Zero. He did go a week later, but not the next day. You know, and then he's this thing about, you know, he goes to Hawaii and talks about the fact that his house was burned down from the kitchen fire. It's like, it's such an exaggeration. It's basically not true. He had a tiny little kitchen fire that the fire department came out and put out in 20 minutes. It was nothing. So the Dems are starting to turn on the president, and I'm starting to wonder, are they going to show him the door? You know, now I was telling you, I was listening to Joe Pags this afternoon. He had an interesting take on this. He said that, you know, Barack Obama really runs the White House through his former staff members. And he said that maybe they've decided they're done with this. But first of all, in the Democrats know that for all the talk that they're putting up, the smiley faces, that the shit against Biden that's going down here in the House is real. The guy's completely compromised. I mean, the fact of the matter is he sold access to himself as vice president, and he sold it. Hold on a second. Sorry, I had to make certain I got my mic adjusted here. He sold it through his son. And that's the other thing, too. The talking line today was there's absolutely no evidence that he benefited from any of this. Now, technically, that's true. No one has traced money directly into his bank account. But by law, they have traced money directly into his grandkids' bank accounts. These are 10 and 12 year old kids, and they're certainly not working for Burisma. And by law, it doesn't matter whether you get the money. If somebody close to you, if family members get the money, that's legally considered a bribe. And so in that sense, legally, he's guilty. Now, when you'll hear Jazz in a few minutes, and this is the first thing I brought up, because when Jazz came on 3 weeks ago, he said, I always like to get one good thing out of every guest, one nugget that you never hear anywhere else. And at that time, he said that his sources were telling him that James Comer at the House Oversight Committee already had the smoking gun, that they had a record of money going directly into Joe Biden's bank account, but they were sitting on it for the right time to release it. And we talked about that today. And now Jazz mentioned the fact, he said, this is common knowledge in Washington now that, you know, there's a whole bunch of people think this. And on top of that, I'm watching Hannity last night, Wednesday night, and John Solomon, the guy, the editor of Just the News, is on. And he alluded to it at the end of his interview with Hannity about the fact that, yeah, he said, I can't talk about this yet because we've not confirmed it. He said, but yeah, we have some very, very damning evidence against the president. He said, yeah, basically the deal breaker. And so apparently, Adam Schiff talked about this stuff for 2 years and turned out he was wrong. But the thing is, there's too many people involved here. And also, we already know what Joe has done. And that's the other thing, too. So you could say, okay, there's no evidence that he benefited from it, but there's already evidence that he's involved. Yes, it's plain as day now that he was involved. There's more than enough evidence to understand that he was involved, that not only was Hunter Biden selling his access to his father, he did it with his father's blessing. He was involved. He was what they were selling. Either access to him or literally his brain, his influence. And he had one when he was vice president, I suppose. I mean, Joe's never been known as a brilliant man, but still, he was at least cogent then. And that's the other thing. So it's not just that the Democrats are starting to realize, oh my God, this guy's in deep shit. Everybody across the country, three quarters of the populace, including 68% of Democrats, think he's too old to run again. So, like, what's going to happen here? It's going to be really interesting. Nobody wants Kamala, so they'd have to push her aside. And not only that, it appears, as far as I can tell, it appears Joe really wants to run. He really does want to run again. So, I mean, you'd actually have to kind of talk him out of it. It's a crazy situation. Right now, other than the fact that Biden and Trump, in a hypothetical matchup, are basically tied, Trump is, I think, 1% over. But in every other metric, Trump is beating the shit out of him. It's like, you know, when they ask specific questions like, you know, leadership qualities, you know, vision for the country, all that sort of stuff, Trump is clearly beating him. So, you know, the thing is, and I think, I mean, I hate to say this, but I think it worked. You know, all those Russian collusion, all that stuff that happened during Trump's term. And a lot of people say, well, I don't want that headache. I don't want to hear that constant daily headache anymore. But the thing is, the headache isn't from Trump. And then the other thing is, Jesus, don't do this on TV. the fact that Trump has 4 indictments, you know, and 91 counts, and everybody says, well, geez, he must be guilty of something, you know. And like I said, he's probably is guilty of the document thing, but doesn't matter. I mean, there's a zillion people have done this previously, including Biden himself, and never been charged for it. So, matter of fact, I'm not even certain if I'm right that there's an actual, the penalty has been set for that. I mean, it is a law, but I don't even know. So that's a problem. If you're an independent voter, you look at Trump and you say, well, geez, you know, people hate him, and then maybe you hate him. Yeah, let's just be right to the point here. This guy, you know, he doesn't come off as an angel. He's not a particularly likable personality. He really isn't. You know, I say, so what? All I know is he did a really good job running the country. And that's the other thing we got that we didn't have in 2020. We now have both of these guys have now records to run on. And Trump's is stellar, and Biden's is bullshit. The other thing that's going on is a thing. And talk about gaslighting. This thing about Bidenomics, they are really trying to tell the public that the economy is improving. I do the shopping for my family. I go to the grocery store. All I know is the prices have gone up so not only just so high, but so quickly. I mean, I think I mentioned this 2 nights ago. Here's an example. I went to the grocery store a couple days ago. I like Campbell's Chunky Soup. I like it. I buy a couple of cans. I always have a couple of cans around. Makes for a good snack, you know, if you don't want to eat a lot of food. Yeah, okay, fine, you know. Well, those cans have been basically under $2 for the entirety of my existence. Yeah, you know, they've creeped up a little bit over the years, but they've been under the last price I remember was about $1.79. So I go to the store 2 days ago, and they're on sale. On sale, the sale price is $2.50. They went up like 70 cents in like the time it takes me to go to the bathroom. I mean, Christ, what the hell? And I don't know about you. I don't know if you do shopping regularly. This has been going on now I think it's worse this year than last year, because now not only are things going up, I said, they seem to be going up very, very, very suddenly. Apparently, last month was actually the worst month for inflation since Biden took office. I mean, the inflation has been higher at different points, but in terms of a one-month jump, last month was apparently the worst. And he's going around the country trying to tell people that the economy is great. He said he said this just today again in some speech somewhere. He said, I've added more jobs than any other president in history. That's because COVID made millions and millions of people stop doing their jobs. I mean, he never, there's no caveat here. He never, you know, mentions the obvious caveat about the fact that, yeah, these are people going back to work. But no, he takes credit for this. I don't know if this guy's just a fucking idiot or if he's delusional. I can't. I've been talked about that before. I can't tell. I just can't tell. I have friends who go on about Trump, and, you know, it's like, which reminds me, somebody said, what does somebody say? Oh, yeah, Hillary Clinton said on MSNBC yesterday, she said, it's disheartening that the GOP went along with the criminality of Trump. Here's the problem. Trump wasn't a criminal. There's nothing he did. All that stuff that you were talking about, the criminality of Trump, you made up. You made up all of it. I mean, I'm so tired of people gaslighting the entire public. It's just everything. They're lying about everything. The fact of the matter is our country's in a shithole, and they're not interested in getting us out. All they want to do is take credit for how great things are going. And the fact that we don't realize it's going great is our problem because we're stupid. Yeah, right. Tell me about it. Jesus Christ almighty. Okay, I'm going to play the interview with Jazz Shaw now. It's about 35 minutes. Jazz is always interesting. Love the guy. Love him. He's my brother from another mother. I was telling my wife today, I don't even know how much I get into this. The more I get to know this guy, it's astonishing how much him and I have in common. I'd say it's getting kind of creepy, actually. But anyway, here we go. Here's Jazz Shaw. He's with us again. Jazz Shaw's here, weekend editor of hotair.com. So you've been, you were on about a month ago, I think it was. You were on our seventh show, which is so far our most watched broadcast. Well, kudos to you. I was telling you about, before we started, you're a very beautiful man. You know, people love you. You know that.
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of rock starish today. So
that's good. Know. That's good. Now, I put this on the bottom at the end of my outline today to talk stuff to talk to you about, but we're going to start with this because you were bitching and moaning about the fact that everyone's bothering you about this whole thing with the Mexican UFO aliens. So, okay, so your take, because I got one. So go ahead. What's going on?
Yeah, anybody who wants to can zip over whenever you're watching this. I put up an article at hotair.com today at 12:30. With a longer explanation and a couple video clips and explainers and things like that.
We'll link to that. Yeah.
But my take on it was somewhat more lukewarm than some of the more enthusiastic people who watched it, and including a couple I spoke to who participated and were there for the event, like Ryan Graves. And so, yeah, they're having the conference, and the Mexican Congress is finalizing language for this new air defense bill that's going to involve unidentified anomalous phenomenon, things like that. And then out of nowhere, and I hadn't spoken to anybody who knew ahead of time that this was going to happen, they just bring this guy out. He's a fairly well-known journalist down there and a UFO investigator. And I'm not going to mangle his name. And he just wheels out this container with these, well, two pair of containers, of glass containers, that have inside it these weird little fossilized, or perhaps mummified, or perhaps both, creatures that he claims are extraterrestrials. And that, of course, is kind of a showstopper, you know, because that's a pretty bold claim to make. Yeah. Oh, you want to talk about UFOs and possibly aliens? Got some right here for you.
Yeah.
You know, awesome. Thanks, dude. And they looked really weird, I guess, as you'd expect. Right.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And he offered some other stuff. He said, and we've done DNA testing, and he's had a printout report, which nobody that I've spoken to really got to examine very closely, that said that 30% of their DNA was unrecognizable. They took x-rays of them, which claimed that one of them had eggs inside and the other one had some sort of a metallic implant in it, which, and you know, so that's screaming life forms and potentially, oh, and they're supposedly 1,800 years old. They were found in a mine in Caracas or wherever it was. And that was pretty much it. And that was the claim he was making. But and if you want to just buy that at face value, wow, that's really super exciting, man. Extraterrestrials, great, right? But like Ryan Graves was there. And anybody who doesn't remember Ryan Graves, fighter pilot, he testified at the June conference in Washington alongside David Grush, does a lot of work in this field. He was right up there and looked at him, and he said privately, and then he put something out on social media later, that he was kind of embarrassed to be there because he looked at him. He was like immediately thought, oh, that's fake, you know? And he said it didn't look good. And the stuff you got off the video, it was harder to tell.
Well, may I jump in here?
Please, go ahead.
I'll mangle this guy's name. His Masson, I think it's Julian. Is it Julian Masson? He's hosted this UFO TV show on Mexican TV for like 20 years.
It's right. One of the
highest rated shows on Mexican television. But his problem, if you ask me, is that he advocates for everything. He puts on this most sketchy, shitty stuff, and then he insists all of it's real. And so it's like the National Enquirer. You can't believe what's real and what isn't. And that's my problem with him and this whole display. He has displayed supposed extraterrestrials in the past that turned out to be bullshit. So, I have to say, these things look pretty convincing. They have three fingers, and they just certainly don't look human. But who the hell knows what the hell they really are? And his reputation is so sketchy that I don't know. I look at this skeptically too. That's where I'm.
Well, going. The most famous one I remember was the photo that he unveiled with great ceremony previously. I don't remember, 2015 maybe. And here it is. We have a mummified extraterrestrial, and he showed the photo, and it didn't take long for somebody to go find that photo online. It was from a museum, and it was the mummified remains of an indigenous girl who had died quite a while ago, who had a deformed skull she suffered from.
Uh-huh.
And maybe the reason why she died very young, nobody knows. And that got revealed, and that it was a regular human girl who had a tragic, deformity.
Yeah.
And he's pitching her, and then eventually, her people from the indigenous nation, they were outraged after it was revealed that she was being displayed and braided around and being called an alien. And they finally returned the remains to them, and she was reinterred, fortunately. But that turned out to be a real debacle. So I guess I'm immediately left with the question, is that what's happening again here now? Is it another complete mistake? Or is it a case of every once in a while, even a blind squirrel finds a nut? Maybe this guy does have something real. I don't know.
That's the thing. You're absolutely correct. Because, I mean, I'm sure after 20 years of one-hour TV every week, this guy's come up with something that's real. So you just don't know. You have no idea. And not to mention the fact there's a whole culture in Mexico, basically, about UFO hoxes. I mean, this has been going on forever. People have been putting stuff out there, down there for years, and it turns out to be complete bullshit,
Yeah, but that's basically my take. So we don't have to drag it on all day, because I know you got some other subjects. But as I wrote in my article, what I really want to see is go back to the old rule: extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Now he wheeled out some evidence. Well, this extraordinary evidence is going to require extraordinarily thorough examination. Samples should be turned over to independent experts. Let's do some new DNA testing. If there is any DNA, if it's biological material, well, that makes it a lot more interesting. Let's get some fresh x-rays done, because he supposedly had x-rays done. Let's see if those are real. If they are, this could be something, and then let's look into it. But before we go jumping in with both feet, let's do those steps.
Yeah.
I think that's where we are.
Have you ever heard this thing about the fact this rumor's been flowing around for years that the aliens they found at Roswell have DNA, but there are only three amino acids involved and not four, but it's still DNA? Have you ever heard this?
I've heard various versions of that story. Yeah. Because
there's some scientists who've now propagated that maybe that DNA may be a universal construct for life in the entire universe, because I get back to what Francis Crick, one of the discoverers of DNA, said years ago, and he said DNA was too complex to have happened by evolutionary chance. And I don't know if you know much about it, but that's kind of what I think too. I do not think you could put a bunch of chemicals in a test tube and wait a million years and come up with this. It's too complicated. Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Yeah, I've heard that theory. I've had discussions with people about that. I agree that DNA is extraordinarily complex. But is that really true? Because if you have enough things that have the potential to combine together, no matter how complex, and you have enough of them, like, let's say, an entire set of oceans worth on an entire planet, and you have enough time.
That's the big deal.
The time when the water first started settling here until we believe we're talking a couple billion years.
Right.
Over billions of years with hundreds of trillions of gallons of water. You wait that long and the conditions are right. Could that magical combination come together? I just don't know that you can flatly say, no, it's impossible. Because clearly it did happen. If somebody could do it intentionally, maybe it could happen by accident.
The other thing is it obviously happened at least once by accident. I mean,
It had to have once, right.
That's correct. And it also gets back to the old typewriter theory. You put 100 monkeys in a room with typewriters, and sooner or later they'll come up with a novel,
Yeah, somebody's going to type Shakespeare eventually.
That's right.
Yeah. And if you believe in the panspermia thing, which I've always been at least somewhat of a fan of, it really only had to happen once in the entire universe. If there are things that can drift through space and survive the trip, we already know tardigrades can survive in space.
Yeah.
They turn into a little shell, and then when they land somewhere warm and wet, they wake up and go about their business.
Yeah.
And are they unique? Probably not. Nothing's really unique, So life could have been traveling in a very microscopic form through space, and wherever it found some place to land where it could take root, it would take root. So we may not even be from here. We might be from somewhere in another galaxy entirely that was the original starting point, and then everything just sort of drifted around over 13 billion years, and now James Webb is making us think, universe might be a lot older than that. We're not sure now.
Yeah.
These are questions that are so huge, too huge to answer. I would prefer to lock in on what are the things flying around in the air? What is this stuff this guy just wheeled out? Let's take a look. What is Grush talking about? Does somebody have something in a basement at Lockheed that we should have a look at? These are things we can lock in on and say, hey, maybe there's information we can get here. Maybe there's things we can put to a test. I'm not going to be able to answer whether the tardigrades came from Alpha Centauri,
Yeah. But this, you're talking about that stuff in the basement down in the Pentagon or wherever the hell you're talking about.
Lockheed.
Yeah, I find it amazing that nobody in the government wants to make the jump from, well, we have extraterrestrial spacecraft and therefore there are aliens. You know what I mean? It's like if those spacecraft exist, that's proof of aliens, because monkeys aren't building them,
It's proof of aliens at some point. I still don't fully totally discount the possibility that they're drones. Artificially intelligent drones that were built somewhere else and just launched out like, hey, go find out stuff for us.
Right.
And under that theory, whoever built them, they could have gone extinct a million years ago.
Oh, that's true. You're absolutely right.
But these things are still just out there flying around and self-replicating and building more copies of themselves.
I never thought of that. You're a smart man. That's why you're doing.
Come up with that. Somebody smart came up with it. And I heard it and I was like, that could be it too. Yeah.
I'm going to read a headline you wrote, I think yesterday. Hunter, I'm embarrassed about the things on the laptop. I'm embarrassed about the things on what totally isn't my laptop. What the hell?
I like that one. Thanks.
Yeah, I know. And what is it? Like, really, how often do we have to remove the goalposts on this? It's like, he actually came out and said he's embarrassed about what's on the laptop, but it isn't his laptop. Right,
it's not his laptop. He's embarrassed by it, and those are clearly pictures of him and videos and emails about things where you can place him and all that. But certainly not his laptop.
No.
But then he kind of backed off under questioning. This was during his deposition. By the way, he got charged today.
Yeah.
With gun charges, like three felonies or something, which I found amazing. But yeah, and then he changed from, well, I don't remember. If it's my laptop, I don't remember having that laptop. And he also insisted I was never at that computer shop, even though the computer shop owner has contracts that he signed and receipts. And, you know, and he was placed by his phone taking cash out of ATMs on two different occasions on the dates where he had the transactions so he could go pay because he paid in cash. You know, and why did he have to pay in cash? You'd think the son of a former vice president, you know. But whatever. These are all interesting questions. No, I just think he and his father are both incredible liars, but just not very good ones. Well, his father's a much better one. Hunter is not a very good liar, in my opinion.
Well, he's apparently not very good at anything except extracting money. I don't know.
And then he's very good at that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get to the current line right now from the White House and the Democrats is that, okay, it wasn't from Biden doesn't know anything about this, never talked to his son about it. Two, I talked to him about it, but I'm not involved. To the now they're saying, well, I did go to the meetings, but I'm not involved. I'm not involved. And this is, and the talking line right now is that there's no evidence that Joe got any money.
Yeah, that's where we're at, and that's where we're clearly gliding towards from the beginning. It was like, no, they never spoke. There was nothing going on. He had a troubled son who had a problem with substance abuse, and he was just trying to help him, which was such a great story for them. And now we're up to the point in much of the mainstream media where if you don't have a photo of Xi Jinping handing Joe Biden a cartoonishly large bag, like a McDonald's burlap bag with a huge dollar sign in the side of it, then you haven't proven anything. No, but we have established that you had like 40 shell company out limited liability corporations with no names that did no obvious business that shuffled tens of millions of dollars back and forth and back and forth, landing in the counts of 10 different Biden family members. We do have that. Doesn't that seem like maybe that's worth, I don't know, asking a question? Like, where'd that money come from? Where did it go? Did anybody pay taxes on that money? You know,
this is what
they're still trying to track down Comey and the rest of his friends. They've been working with the IRS, and they said there's something else coming this coming week because they finally got some stuff in.
I was going to bring that up because on the last show you did with us, you said, and I've been playing this up because I always try to get one kernel of information nobody hears anyway. You said that you had heard rumors that Comer actually has a smoking gun was sitting on it. That's what you said. And now I'm watching Hannity last night. I'm watching Hannity, and John Solomon from Just the News is on. And Hannity, that was the last question Hannity asked him, and he alluded to the same thing. He said, I can't get into this right now because we haven't actually substantiated this formally or permanently. But, yeah, there's stuff that's going to go down that's going to basically prove this. He said, kind of said the same thing. You know,
one of our contacts, and trust me, there was a lot of people in the background who knew about this at least a month ago. Because they'd gotten a bite and they had somebody come forward and say, here's a couple of documents. And if you go chase these, you'll get the other documents. And now we're down to the point where they're talking about not just IRS records, but bank transfer records and things like that. And where did that money go? Where did it land? When did it land? How does that fit into the timeline? And I think those are the pieces they're putting together in the timeline right now. And some of the things he denied, there were large chunks of money that went through that network of LLCs and showed up immediately afterwards, and they don't show up in the IRS records.
Yeah.
So if that's true, is that an iron enough lock for anybody else? I don't know. But if that much money showed up and it went into accounts with Biden names on them and no taxes were paid on it, kind of sounds like a crime happened to me.
Well, there's
even if it was just a tax crime.
Jazz, no one addresses this. So those minor grandchildren got money, and according to the law, it doesn't matter whether you get the money. If your family gets the money, that is legally bribery. You know,
anybody.
Yeah, right.
And it doesn't even have to be necessarily only going to the family members. And I think Comey's done a good job of bringing this up, is that the word benefit under the law, under these laws, is defined quite broadly and has in the past been used that way. If a whole bunch of money was made in this way and went into Hunter's account and other people's accounts, and they were paying Joe's bills at his houses, and they were covering his expenses, that's still a direct benefit.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't the cartoonishly large bag of cash,
right,
he was still benefiting from it. And then we come back and nobody's going to ever be able to do this in court. This guy worked for half a century as a public servant. Back then, even as a senator, making a better salary than most of us make, but not that great. His wife taught at a community college. How did they get two mansions by the seaside?
Yeah, well,
how did that happen? You know,
we've talked about this on the show many times about the fact that it seems like if you spend enough time in Congress, like after 10 or 15 years, all of a sudden your income seems to jump like in 1 year very noticeably, because at some point you're on the take. That's all I can think of, you know.
Well, you're either on the take or, like in the case of the Pelosi's and so many others, and I include Republicans too. There's one right in New York sitting in jail right now because of it, because you are using information you're not supposed to use, and you're doing insider trading. That's another way they do it, but that's also illegal. You know, it's all supposed to be illegal. Nobody's supposed to be doing it, but yeah, almost. I think Donald Trump was the only guy in the last 30 years who ever went to Washington and left with less money than he started with.
I know. That's right.
And now he's going broke, from all the legal bills and everything. But yeah, you're right. Both parties, everybody goes down there. And if you stayed there, AOC, we already found out her and her quote husband, she lists as her spouse,
yeah,
which is kind of ethically questionable. They've been suddenly doing a lot better and taking trips to the Caribbean and the Mediterranean and things. And who's paying for all that? Is it the taxpayer, or does she have some other sources of income coming in we don't know about? I think these things are all worth investigating. But yeah, it's not a one-party thing. Everybody's in on it. It's actually the swamp,
man. Did you answer this question for me? I don't actually know the answer. I know kind of what senators get paid. Do congressmen, members of the House, get paid the same amount?
No, senators get more than congressmen. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. The congressmen these days, don't quote me, and I'm not going to Google it. I'll just embarrass myself by taking a guess. I think the members of Congress start somewhere in the mid-140 range, 140K range, which is pretty good money per year.
Yeah.
And that doesn't count the fact that they don't pay their staffers. Their staffers are all paid by the taxpayers. They have expense accounts. Their security is paid for. Their offices are paid for. They don't have a lot of bills that comes out of that. The senators, again, shot in the dark. Go ahead and Google it while I'm talking.
No, I thought it was 174 is what I thought.
I thought the senators on the last raise were up getting closer to 200. So, but it's somewhere in that range. But it's not, I know, I work with and know people who are, and I'm not going to reveal my own, but are easily up in the above 100K, so I'm getting closer to 200K range. None of them have two mansions by the shore.
Yeah.
It's good money. I'm not complaining.
Right.
My friends don't complain. Because there's so many people out there working hard that make so much less. I don't, for a minute, I don't discount that. Working class people are really struggling. I don't just saying, if you're somebody who makes around $150,000 a year, if you don't live in a big city in a really expensive area, I live in a more rural suburban area where there's a much lower cost of living. You can, if you're up above 100K, you can get by comfortably. I don't live in a damn mansion. If you look at my house, you'll know that. But yeah, and a lot of people, there's a lot of parts of the country where you can do that. If you live in Manhattan, if you live in Hollywood, you make $200,000 a year. You might be looking for food stamps or something because you're going to need $500,000. If you want to have a mansion at the seaside, pretty much anywhere, if you want Obama's house on Martha's Vineyard or his new place in Hawaii, you know, no, you don't get that on a senator's money. You don't get that on a president's money. Where the Obamas got their money from the books, from Netflix, all that. You can say what you want, but at least it's above board.
That's right.
Where did all the Biden money come from? Well, we seem to be finding out.
Yeah. So, talking about Los Angeles, I lived in Los Angeles from 80 to 85. I lived in the same apartment the entire time. I still remember when I left, my rent there was $480 a month. About 6 months ago, I'm on apartments.com just cruising around, and I actually went to the building where my apartment was, and to my amazement, the exact apartment I had was for rent. Now, $3,600.
$3,600. Yep.
A one-bedroom apartment, 800 square feet, $3,600.
One bedroom.
Yeah. No, nothing luxurious at all. From 480 to 3600 in 35 years.
I'll tell you what, where I grew up, because it is generational and it's where you live. I grew up in a absolutely rural community. I worked on farms for my family growing up. The house that I grew up in, we had a colonial. It wasn't fancy. It was old. But it was a three-story house and it had a garage. That house sold after my mother passed away for $17,000. Okay. But that's what things cost back then. The house that we live in, and I'm in a more definitely suburban area, closer to a city, a little bit higher cost of living, nothing like the places we're talking about. Back 29 years ago, 30 years ago, we bought this house that I'm in, very similar to my parents. Colonial, has a basement, has three bedrooms and a den. And it's not big. It has a very small fenced-in yard. We bought this house for $57,000. And that's a house with a yard.
Yeah.
You know, go try to buy a house with a yard anywhere near Los Angeles, anywhere in the suburbs of Manhattan. It's millions, tens of millions to get a house the size of mine.
That's right.
But to this day, my neighbor, one of our best friends, is a realtor, and he's always looking to make trades. He's, are you thinking of selling? Because 2 years ago, prices were really going up. And I was like, what do you think my house is worth? And he said, I've been doing the whole block and just doing some thumbnail things. I think your house could be up to like $170,000, which is a huge jump from what we paid for it. But still, that's not me. If I sold it for that, I'm not going and getting a mansion in Delaware with $170,000.
Nope.
You know?
That's right. Not to mention a beach house too, you know.
Exactly.
You know. So speaking of that, I'm going to bring this up. Here's a story you wrote that actually has some local implications for me. And that is what happens when the local police just give up and disband. So this is about the small town of Goodhue, Minnesota, which is about, like you pointed out in the article, it's about an hour south of Minneapolis. And the town is not very big. I mean, I grew up very close to here, so I'm very familiar with this place. It's about 1,000 people. I think they had a police force of, I think, about six, if I'm right, half a dozen, and they all up and left the same time. What the other thing, what wasn't in your piece, and it's just been kind of skirting past the radar right now, is that in Minneapolis proper, it's not even a matter of money. There's so many policemen are retiring or quitting, they can't even replace them at the level they're leaving because they just literally they're just leaving so fast that they can't replace them, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm bringing this up other than the fact it's local, but the fact is, and Goodhue's a very nice little town, but it's a little town. And so I guess they decided, yep, we're done.
Well, yeah. And I think part of it is when you hear some of the comments from the people who left, part of it was the disparagement of the police and depression amongst the force, lack of respect, but also lack of funding, lack of support, which goes along with that, because if you appreciated the police more, you'd find the funds and give them what they needed, because they wanted a better budget to be able to attract more people. But in the case of a town, a village, township, that size, that's not always the end of the world. The little town I grew up in never had its own police force. The farm area. We had a state police barracks that was in that township, but we never had our own police because it was just farm country, you know.
Yeah.
But there are places that don't have their own police. They have to rely on the county sheriffs and the state police. And in some areas that works. Maybe in the place we're talking about that you're talking about, maybe that'll work. They listed some other ones that were much larger in that article that I wrote.
Uh-huh.
And they also disbanded their police forces for the same reasons. And now that puts a huge strain on the sheriffs. It puts a huge strain on the state police, and it increases response times. Because if you call for an emergency, they got to come from a lot further than if there was a cop walking a beat on the street out there, or somebody in a squad car that could come, you know, 15 blocks and be there.
Right. The other thing about this story that you wrote is that I can tell you for a fact, I know Goodyear has absolutely no crime problem. So if these guys were dissuaded or depressed about the situation, it's like, holy shit, like what's going on everywhere else? You know what I mean? There's no, there's no crime problem in Goodyear, Minnesota. I can assure you that none. So, and still they couldn't handle it, I guess, under the circumstances they were under. So,
yeah, it was probably less, we can't handle the crime rates, and more, we can't handle the fact that we're getting paid crap money, we're not getting any resources, and we're not getting any support, and screw this, I'm going to
either
go into a new line of work, or I'm going to go somewhere where I'll be more appreciated.
Right, that's right, you know? That's right. Yeah, so now, you also wrote the story about the federal judge blocked the Albuquerque or the New Mexico governor's ban on carry. And this, and I talked about this last night. So now this is really, and nobody really talked about this on this level. I don't know if you actually read her order, her quote unquote emergency order, which is bullshit. That's the other thing I want to talk about here too. Is everything a fucking emergency? I mean, God almighty. I mean, make it fucking stop. This is really pissing me off. Like, people throw this emergency shit out for everything. But at any rate, her actual order was she banned open carry and concealed carry. And I was thinking, and you know more about this than I do, so that's why I'm throwing this out here. So the Second Amendment says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, which basically means at all. But here in quote unquote reasonable society, we do have restrictions on gun ownership. You can't be a felon and own a gun. You can't be crazy and own a gun or not pass it back. You know,
be on crack and buy a gun.
Yeah, right. But actually, technically, those are probably illegal, even though we've accepted those as society based on the Second Amendment. But if you're banning open carry and you're banning concealed carry, you're basically banning guns. My point is, if she'd done one or the other, I think she could have gotten away with it. But, you know, you're banning guns, and now everybody's up in arms, no pun intended, including a lot of Democrats. I mean, I saw this David Hogg guy, and this guy's entire young career is based on gun restriction, and he's bitching about it, you know?
Yeah, and if I wanted to be a complete Second Amendment absolutist, which a lot of our regular readers might be surprised to find out, I'm actually not. We have made compromises over time. And if you're just going to read the Second Amendment text, unless you're talking about people that are involved in something you could define as a militia, and that gets a little shady too, because some people say, well, everybody's technically kind of the militia. Banning certain people for certain things, yeah, that should have just fallen flat. But we have societally, and including the courts, including the Supreme Court, even in the modern era, we have accepted certain encroachments on there. And there's a lot of fights, I'm sure you know, that are going on about the so-called red flag laws that are going around lots of places.
Yeah.
And I sit there and I look at some of those red flag laws, and one part of me says, man, this looks dangerous, because just anybody could pick up a phone if they're pissed off at you and drop a dime, you know. But on the other hand, my wife, who's a very, very liberal feminist Democrat, pointed out, and we had a long conversation about it one night, and she had me thinking about a situation. If there's a couple that lives down the street from you, and the guy has a handgun or a couple of guns or whatever, and he's already been taken to jail for beating up his wife, but he didn't get charged. for a domestic disturbance, and the neighbors have all seen him out there screaming and threatening her. If somebody came along and after the latest screaming and threatening event and said, you know what, maybe you don't need your guns for a while until you talk to somebody.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I can totally disagree with that.
No, I can't either. No.
Because what happens if the next day you come over and you got a body? Okay, right. You can put him in jail. Maybe you can even execute him. Doesn't bring her back.
Well, there's another scenario, too, when it comes to that same domestic type of violence thing. I don't see, you know, if a man has threatened a woman enough times and been clear, you know, that I'm going to kill you, I don't have any problem if he comes over the house and doesn't even say a word if the woman shoots him. To me, that's self-defense.
But, you know, I'm good with that.
Legally, it isn't. It is not self-defense. Somebody has to do something first. But, you know,
I'm just saying, I personally don't have a problem. I wouldn't have a problem shooting myself, but I'd probably go to jail. but I mean, the point is, in the end, yeah, I think there are people. And if you know that your neighbor's adult kid is a hometown version of Hunter Biden and he's out there hanging around in the streets, he's doing crack, he's been stealing from people to get money, and he has a gun. Maybe that's somebody that doesn't need to have a gun, even if he hasn't been hit with a felony yet.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Like maybe that's a little too dangerous. Right. So I've been rethinking some of these things. Well, I think if you get a clean record, you have a permit, you know, self-defense, whatever you want, you like to go to the range, you're a hunter, you go around and say, no, you can't carry, you can't have a gun. Well, no, we have to shut that crap down right away. But yeah, there probably are some people where I have to admit, maybe the Second Amendment doesn't need to be quite so absolute for you. But I also understand the other side who say, okay, as soon as you say that, well, then people who think differently than you might say the same thing. Like, well, you're a Republican or you're a conservative. You seem kind of dangerous to me. Maybe you shouldn't have a gun. Right. So there's so many gray areas, man. I wish I was wise enough to have answers for you.
Yeah, and we know the slippery slope is real. Just look at all this transphobia stuff. I mean, it's crazy. You know, this is stuff where Mary, you wrote an article on this too, if I'm right, about the Missouri Clinic thing, right?
Yep, just recently. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was. Let me just kind of really summarize this before we end up here. Oh Jesus. Okay, I have it on this list here. So you explain to me what was going. Oh yeah. All right. Missouri trans clinic ends puberty boxers because the legislature told them to, but like you pointed out, it wasn't really that they kind of wanted to. They're doing it basically because they don't want to get sued. And the one thing I learned from your article that I did not know, that according to you, trans surgery is already a $1 billion industry in the United States. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was actually an outdated article. It's gone up since then. I went and checked. It's getting close to $2 billion a year, and the current estimate from the AMA is that by 2030, it's going to be a $10 billion a year industry unless something changes. Yeah. They're making a buttload of money off of this. And this one clinic at the Washington University Transgender Clinic in St. Louis, they were just going through and putting kids, and they lied about it at first. They said, oh, we don't do anything with minors. And they were doing things with minors. Yeah. And a whistleblower came out who worked there. It was like, yeah, we're doing minors all the time. And they were just pushing them all in the pipeline. And a lot of these kids had clearly, to her, and she's a healthcare professional, clearly obvious other mental issues. But it didn't matter what the other mental issues were. It was like, here, have some puberty blockers. Here, have some hormones. And after a little while, here, we'll cut your breasts off. You'll be a boy. We'll cut all your junk off. You'll be a girl, you know. And they kept denying it until they got caught. And then the state passed a law. And even after there were whistleblowers and all that, now they've come out and said, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. Well, why did you say anymore when you said before you never did it, first of all?
yeah.
And second of all, the new law says anybody, any child growing up who realizes they've been mutilated and destroyed for life, who comes back and has their medical records, can immediately hit you, and you have to give them all at least $500,000 each. And they've been doing a lot of them, you know, and they're like, whoa, we're done. I don't think they were done to save the children. I think they were done to stop losing about, quick back of the napkin calculation, about $2 billion in cash that their insurance was not going to cover.
Right. That's right. That's why I got the same impression reading that too, that, you know, Jazz, I'm going to let you go. I know you got a lot to do today. There's a lot of people want to talk to you about the Mexican UFO stuff.
So yeah, I still got another one this afternoon and another one tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes.
Glad I got you first, so it's not sloppy second. So
all right.
Hey, you take care. We'll talk to you soon. You too, sir. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. Anytime, my friend.
Take care. Our thanks to Jazz Shaw for coming on there. Love talking to the guy. Love the jazz. Love him. Love him. So I made a couple notes here because he said something that actually stuck out to me. Anyway, he did confirm what we were talking about earlier about the fact that supposedly, he hasn't confirmed it. I mean, because it's really just a rumor that's going on in Washington, but apparently it's really strong at this point. That Comer has the smoking gun to put to nail Biden with payments right into his account. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting here. So, okay, they've started this impeachment inquiry. Now, we're going to have Mark Tapscott on the show next week again. And when we talked to him about 3 weeks ago, he agreed with me about the fact that although you have to understand, they had to do the inquiry because the actual official inquiry gives them certain subpoena powers they don't have otherwise, so they can discover stuff. I don't think it's actually worth going through the actual impeachment process. I mean, yeah, there's enough votes in the House to actually start impeachment, but, you know, it's never going to get through. He's never going to be removed, ever, not even close. So the question is, do they actually want to go that route? I think it might just be better if they use this inquiry power to actually show the fact that this guy's guilty as hell. I don't think, they plowed Trump through this twice and they knew they didn't have the votes and they decided to do it anyway because they wanted to taint him. I will never understand or get over the hatred they have for Donald Trump. I just don't, especially now, because, you know, you've got two guys who both have records, as I was saying in the first half, the first third of the show, about the, and it's plainly obvious who did the better job. There's just no doubt about it. But I don't think it's worth actually going through the whole impeachment. But they needed the inquiry power just to be able to talk to people. So it'll be really interesting. I mean, would Joe quit? I don't think so. I could see a scenario. Pags was talking about this afternoon, too. I could see a scenario where Joe decided, like, if they actually did throw Hunter in jail, that Joe decided to pardon his son and then resign. I could see that. He would, he loves his son so much. Well, he's an enabler. I mean, he's been a terrible father. There's just no doubt about that, you know. Not to mention the fact he took highly inappropriate showers with his daughter. It's like, and she said that, not me or anybody else. The guy, he's just a total enabler. So Hunter's got him wrapped around his middle finger. And I want to, you know, I don't really care about Hunter per se. I don't. Hunter's not an elected official. I care about his dad. His dad's an elected official. So if his dad sold out the country, he should be removed. Hunter, I really don't give a fuck, you know, go to jail, whatever, you know, but as a person, it's plainly obvious. I mean, there's apparently some email was released today where Hunter was bitching and moaning about the fact that he had to give his dad half of his income, but he never seemed to stop to think about the fact he has that income because of his father. I mean, I just found that it's just hilarious. He's complaining and bitching and moaning to the rest of his family members. At least I'm not going to ask you to turn over half of the money you make like my dad did. But what is he selling? He's selling access to his dad. I mean, talk about an ungrateful, short-sighted SOB. You can't get worse than that. That's what I think. Why don't you give me a call? You can talk about anything. We can talk about what Jazz talked about. GemiKnight.com/call. Excuse me. Oh, my God. That's terrible. Wow. I'm yawning on live TV. That's awful. I want to bring one more thing up here. This is another thing I never got a chance to ask Jazz about, and he wrote an article about this, but this is really fascinating. The article is about the fact that, let me find it here. The article is about the fact that nobody seems to, this whole AI thing that's, you know, that everyone's debating and they're having these meetings on Capitol Hill about all this sort of stuff. There's a secret cost to AI, and that is it burns up a shitload of electricity. If you think that the data centers that Facebook and Google has running for their regular services is one thing, this is way above and beyond that. Because now the chips are running faster, they're running hotter. And the one thing that Jazz brought up, and you never would assume this in a million years, but this is an article, and we're going to put this article and the one he wrote on the Mexican UFO stuff on our blog, jimandknight.com. It burns up, these data centers burn up a lot of water because they need water to cool the servers. And now, most data servers, or many at least, use water as a cooling agent for the chips running hot. But because these are data centers are so amped up compared to regular ones, they actually use a lot of water. And it's kind of like a nuclear power plant, you know. I mean, nuclear power plant, most of them are set next to rivers because they use river water for cooling. And that's always been a complaint. What you don't know is that the river water never actually comes in contact with the radioactive elements. Now, because it's running through the plant, the water comes out a little more radioactive than when it went in, but still, it's not usually at a danger level. I mean, nuclear power plants in America are so well constructed that basically you can have a picnic next to one every day, you know, outside the silo every day for a year, and you're not going to get any appreciable radiation. You're going to have more radiation getting x-rays at the dentist. I mean, that's what's going on here. Yeah. So there's another, I'm going to segue to that too. Talking about this fact that they use so much water of these data centers and nuclear power plants. Excuse me. Holy. Oh my God. Call me up and wake me up. jimandknight.com/call. In Palisades, Michigan, I think the name of the town is Covent, if I'm right. I'm not sure, but it's the Palisades nuclear power plant in Michigan on the seaboard, the lake shore of Lake Michigan, is going to apparently become the first decommissioned power plant in U.S. history that's going to be recommissioned. They're going to start it back up. So this power plant closed about 10 years ago, I think it was. It started to open in 1971, and it closed after about a 50-year run, and they were going to tear it down. And somebody's saying, well, you know, Jesus, this place isn't in such a bad shape, and if, especially if we're going to... Now, I have to applaud the politicians in Michigan for doing this, even though it kind of pains me to do it, because I think Gretchen Whitmer, I describe it as she's some woman girl you went to high school with. You know, that's kind of what she looks like. But and apparently she's been behind this, so God bless her. You know, if they're going to get rid of fossil fuels, well, they need something to generate electricity. And they're thinking, well, this power plant, even though it's been closed for 10 years, is not in a very bad shape. They're going to start it back up. And God bless them. I don't think that's a bad idea. There's a power plant just south of Minneapolis here in Red Wing, Minnesota. There's a nuclear power plant. It's also started, I think, in 1972, if I'm right. So it is supposedly they are not going to renew its license either when it expires in a couple of years. But this power plant in Red Wing has been in the top three rated one of the top three most safe power plants in the entire world, basically every year of its existence. It has a stellar track record. And we know more about nuclear power now, way more than we knew 50 years ago. I mean, these plants, in terms of technology, are now ancient, even though that plant, the plant of Red Wing, is still running. There's another plant here in the north of the Twin Cities, basically the opposite direction, about 50 miles north in a town called Monticello. That's still running. And these things are they're running well, and they've had no problems. But if these plants were upgraded to current technology levels, which has mostly been developed in France, I mean, France is up till now. I don't know how this is going to work out now with the thing. Oh, we can't have nuclear power. It's scary, scary, scary. But up till recently, France got 80% of their electricity from nuclear power. And they have pretty much solved all the problems anybody ever had with nuclear power. How to dispose of the waste, how to recycle it, the waste, making the plants more efficient, making them safer so there's less radiation leak. They've done all of this stuff. And if we now there's a plant, is it in Massachusetts or in Georgia? They're going to put the first new nuclear power plant in 30 years going to start up shortly. It's the only one that's been made and built in 30 years. They're going to start that up. I mean, we have figured this out, and it's absurd the fact that we wouldn't generate power like this. You know, you want an electric car? Okay, fine. You know, you got to put Malaysian children in a slave labor in a mine in Niger to get cobalt. Yeah, okay, fine. But the thing is, you know, if you don't want to burn gasoline, all right, I'm okay with that, assuming you have enough power, you know. But the thing is that none of these green people have ever come up with a reasonable solution to come up with the power. And nuclear electricity is the most obvious solution. The wind farms, that's complete bullshit. I swear to God, 50 years from now, all these things are going to be abandoned, and they're a blight on the landscape. They kill millions of birds. They're highly inefficient. They're mechanical machines. They break down regularly. It's all crap. Solar panels, okay. That's an idea. You know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But the freaking windmills can go fuck themselves. It's just bullshit. It's crap. And now they're going to put them in the ocean outside of Massachusetts. Is it 1,400 miles off the coast or something like that? Or is it? No, I think they're going to put up 1,400 of them on, you know, basically on like anchored floating pontoons. They're going to put the. It's just a nightmare. It's like, you know, every single seagull on the eastern seaboard will be killed by these things. Yeah, but nuclear power, yeah, and solar power. All right, now I know, you know, people talk about the fact, yeah, okay, there's a lot of covert mining that goes, illicit mining that goes along with making solar panels too. But the thing is, it is a very relatively easy way to generate power. You stick the solar panel on the ground and you aim it toward the sun. How hard is it? They last about 10 years right now. You know, we'll probably get more out of them. I mean, from what I understand, because they have to be replaced every 10 years, they're not as financially efficient as people think. But, you know, they do. It's a clean way to generate electricity. You know, I have poo-pooed climate change. I told you, I think it's complete utter bunk. And to be precise, climate change is real. It's the ramifications of climate change that basically are not going to happen. But considering that, there's a kernel of truth to everything. And the kernel of truth here is that everybody wants a cleaner planet. Nobody wants to dispute that. And you want to generate electricity with solar panels? Well, that's a pretty clean way to do it, you know? And regardless of what the lefties think, nuclear power is too. I mean, right now, there's only been two major nuclear accidents in the entire history of the industry, one in Russia, one on the eastern seaboard of the U.S. Well, the one in Russia was pretty bad. I mean, you know, they literally had to abandon a whole stretch of land there. The one on Three Mile Island was actually not that bad. It was terrible. The plant got screwed up, but there was not really any drastic release of radiation. But now, like I said, we pretty much solved these problems. So, you know, technology onward and upward, you know. So getting back to what started me on this whole thing about the fact that these AI server farms and data centers take a shitload of electricity and also need a shitload of fresh water to cool them. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, they had a meeting today. This meeting's been going on, I think, all week in Washington. And the amazing thing is, it's closed. It's a closed meeting. It's not. You'd think they're talking about the future of humanity, but no, it's a closed meeting that Elon Musk and Bill Gates and all these people are going to, and Mark Zuckerberg, about the talking about the dangers of AI. I just don't know what to think. I don't. On the one hand, right now it seems like AI is basically pretty stupid. You know, it's garbage in, garbage out. It's been brought up, and the reason these data centers have to be so powerful is because of the speed they have to work. The average, like ChatGPT, has basically swallowed up and digested trillions of web pages. So it's then like the entire damn internet, you know, and it can access this stuff in fractions of a second. But the problem is, I don't know if you noticed, there's a lot of crap on the internet. And this crap gets fed into AI, and so what you end up with is a program that's extremely astute and can write very, very well, and basically spits out bullshit. And, you know, so what people have said is that, okay, once AI starts posting stuff to the internet, and then this stuff's going to get regurgitated by another AI program's going to come around and grab the stuff that's been written by AI, and literally it will ground a logic and facts of the internet basically to a pulp. So it'll be regenerative. It'll regenerate bullshit. And that may happen, and that makes logical sense, but I would already say there's a lot of crap on the internet that's bullshit. So, you know, I mean, do we have to even talk about disinformation? Disinformation is what you think it is. That's all disinformation is. And I've been saying this, you know, I don't want to get into this, but the thing is, I can make a legitimate claim to being one of the developers of social media on the internet, and I don't want to talk about it. But the thing is, I regret my contribution. I do. I've come to the conclusion that social media has done more harm than good. I think for young people especially. I mean, there is some good to it. I mean, my wife gets on Facebook. She keeps up with the family. You know, there is. I'm not going to say it's all terrible. But in the long run, in the grand scheme of things, it's been more hurtful than helpful. That's what I think. And the other thing you'll notice, if you try to find me on the internet, I don't have a presence. I took care of that years ago. I'm not on social media, other than the fact the show is, like, you know, the show is an account on Twitter, and we post the episodes there, and we're live on Twitter automatically. It's one of the seven places now, not eight, now seven, that we drop Podbean. But I don't post. I refuse. So you guys, you know, you go at it, you start insulting each other, and you burn up your valuable, the time of your life to give Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk stuff they can sell. And you give it away for free. There you go. And if you want some advice on how to quit, it's simple. Just quit. It's like another addiction. Just stop. Except that you're not going to go through withdrawals, I don't think. I mean, it may seem weird for a few days, but believe me, I was an ardent participant in social media until about 8-10 years ago, and I literally woke up one day and said, you know, after, you know, I was spending a couple hours a day on this, and I'm thinking, this is fucking stupid, and I just stopped. I still have an account on Facebook. Have you ever tried to delete an account on Facebook? It's almost impossible. They don't want you to, you know, they need your money to contribute to their membership numbers. They will let you suspend your account You know, they'll let you do that, which means that you can't post it and nobody else can see it. They will allow that. That's not that hard, but they will. But deleting an account on Facebook is almost impossible. And that's because you, my friend, you are the product they're selling. They're selling you, and that's why it's free. It's not free. All right, enough with me lecturing you. I'm sorry about that. So next week, Mark Tapscott sometime. We got a couple other guests lined up. I don't want to... Mark asked to come on, so that's why I have no trouble talking about it. But we got a couple other people that we actually nail down the day they're going to be on. I don't like to talk about it. So I hope you have a good weekend. I'm going to a little family reunion on Sunday. That should be kind of fun. So there we're good. Show number 21 in the can. Good night, Uncle Donnie, wherever you are. Oh, no. Since you stuck around for the whole thing, watch this. This is the end card. Here we go. Ta-da!